It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. Thanks for joining me today. We have a great show for you. We're going to chronicle the journey of executive director of A Better Way of Life and founder of Interseed Ministries, Charles Hare, on his journey from the road of crime and imprisonment to being a minister of Christ and deliverance.
Amen.
Welcome
praise
to the program.
God. Thank you so much for having me here on the show. It's a blessing truly to be here. I just give God the glory, the honor, and the praise for my deliverance and for my healing process. I give glory and honor to not only to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also I want to give honor to my wife who isn't here with us right now, who is actually the CEO and founder of A Better Way of Life. I love you, honey.
Now, we just celebrated the birth of Christ, and I'm sure for someone who's walked in your shoes, have a real appreciation for what Christ did for us, because none of us are perfect, but some of our roads are harder than others, and the harder your road is, the more you appreciate things. Just like if your child wants a car, and you don't give it to them, but you make them earn it, it's going to mean more to them if they just get it freely, you know?
That's right.
Those of us that have maybe a harder life, maybe some of us might appreciate the birth of Christ and death of Christ even more.
Amen.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about you and about your ministry?
Okay, Amber, I'm the visionary founder of Interseed Ministries. Interseed Ministries is it's partners with A Better Way of Life, and the ministry actually provides the men with not only scripture to bring them to a place of deliverance, but it's also combined with the 12 spiritual steps of recovery to help provide the men with the balance that's needed, not only to stay sober, but to really be reconciled, to get to be restored back to a whole man, into a perfect relationship with Jesus Christ.
Now, is the recovery program specifically for like alcohol and drug, or is it for almost any kind of addiction?
It's for anyone who has been struggling with a mind-altering substance, from alcohol. We have a lot of guys who battle with crack addiction, heroin addiction. You'll be amazed. Most of the heroin addicts that come through the program is in their early 20s.
Wow.
We have people struggling with crystal methamphetamines. We have people coming in struggling with homosexuality and bisexuality. I mean, we get it from all walks of life.
I mean, it's good to have a ministry like that, and I think we need to have more ministries to help people with an altered state. Maybe it's pornography they're dealing with, or maybe homosexuality, or whatever.
That's right.
We need ministries such as yours to get us back on the right track, because only us as believers can show the people the right way to go, because we have it laid out for us in the Bible.
Amen.
And we have help through the Holy Spirit. So if we're not going to be the light and guiding people the eternal life, then what good are we?
Amen. That's right, Amber. And you know what? I didn't want to do this. We was talking earlier in the office, and actually my wife, she's the CEO and founder of A Better Way of Life. A Better Way of Life also has had a women's house, but we had to shut the women's house down just this year due to lack of funding. But we had 4 men house, and we had to consolidate down to 2. So right now we have actually 23 men in our program.
Wow.
And this time of the year, we get so many calls because it's cold outside.
Right.
People who are in recovery, this time of the year symbolizes family, and when you know it allows those who are struggling with the disease of alcoholism to when they're thinking about family, they go to hurting,
right?
You know, and that's one thing that we do. People who have graduated out of the program, we do allow them to come back up under the alumni status to hang around the fellowship. They could come in any time of the night, as long as they're clean still and still sober and haven't used.
Now, you hit on something that I think really would hurt the heart of someone, especially the founder, someone who has a calling by God. Mm-hmm. And if you're called by God to help people in such a manner, and you have to turn them away because there's no beds, there's lack of money, that has to be painful, because
painful.
You know you're unable at this moment to help that individual who's hurting, who's asking for help. I mean, they're hurting because they probably look at it like, okay, well, I guess I'm not worth helping. I don't know what their mindset may be, or maybe they think, well, what's wrong with me? Why can't you help me? You know, right. Maybe they leave with negative thoughts.
We have gotten that, Amber, and it hurts when we don't have beds available. We're not government or federally funded. What we actually do, we subcontract with different organizations and businesses, and our men work with the program. And that's how they pay for their room and their board. It keeps the doors open for the program. Strictly Christian faith-based, my wife and I, we get out and we go and we knock on doors. This is what we do. We need your support. Can you help our ministry? We have men that are willing to work, and the men understand the vision.
But let's go back a few steps, because you started with Intercede, and Intercede is a 12-step program.
Yes, ma'am.
But what drew you to that kind of ministry?
I really felt that was my call. That was my purpose. I've always been in purpose, but God called me into my purpose. I myself struggled with a 22-year crack addiction. I was in and out of prisons and jails. I've taught monotonous relationships. I was in monotonous relationships. I was bound by pornography. I was bound by, I indulged in bisexual acts in my addiction, which shattered my ego boundaries. Everyone in my family was alcoholics and addicts. Right now, today, pretty much, I'm the only one pretty much that's trying to live a safe life. All I do is just, I don't judge my family. I just go around them and I just try to reflect Christ because I love them so much.
Right.
Growing up, you know, my role models was pimps and drug dealers. I started indulging in marijuana at 10 years old. About time I was 15, I was smoking PCP.
Let's stop right there. If people don't realize what PCP does, it gives you superhuman strength, does it not?
It gives you not only superhuman strength. For some people, it does that, but for me, it made me stand still for about 2 or 3 hours.
Wow.
And look at buildings that was upside down. And at that particular time, I tried it. When I began experience with it, every time I used it, I called on God. Because you just tap into a whole nother demonic atmosphere and realm, and man, it's just crazy. But through my drug experience, it brought me to a place of repentance where I found Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Living God came and visited me in my jail cell. That's another story. And ever since then, I've been following Christ.
You know, I hear that it's pretty common from what I'm hearing, inmates, where they actually get a visitation by either an angel or the Holy Spirit. And that right there turns their life or starts them on this journey. Would you agree that sometimes God puts us in a place of imprisonment so he can get our attention?
Exactly. He has to put us in a place. Most of the time I called out for God, Amber, is when my back was against the wall and I didn't know what to do and had nowhere to go. And that's sad, because sometimes we need to learn how to take time out for God. Mm-hmm. We need to learn how to take time out and just listen for his voice. Because, you know, with everything that's going on, even with the recession and just living from day to day, life on life terms, sometimes we be too busy to hear from God. And that's a no-no. That's a no-no. We should always have a life of prayer and meditation. The Bible says that if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, that he will direct our path. Amen. And that's pretty much how I live my life today. Being of service to others, giving back, giving of myself, regardless, for the most part, how painful and uncomfortable it may make me feel. But that's how I grow spiritually, because Jesus Christ gave his life. He came. He was born. We celebrated Christmas because of Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins. And, you know, when he was hung on the cross, he was hung on the cross for drug addiction, for alcohol, for bisexuality, for lust, for pornography. He was hung on a cross for those specific things. And so until I came to a maturity in Christ Jesus to receive my total and full deliverance, I had to go through a process. I couldn't understand it. I got mad, and I was mad at God because I would do so good for a year or so and then relapse and lose everything. And even in the midst of my mess, I would hear the Holy Spirit tell me, you're going to be okay. I couldn't understand it. You know, I'm going to share this with you, and I'm going to let you talk. I went to my wife and I three years ago went to a New Year's Eve celebration at a church, and it was this prophet there, and she spoke to me. She was looking at me then. She began to scream and yell, ah, I thought thus says the Lord, thus say the Lord. And I'm looking at my wife and I'm thinking, like, well, I hope I ain't done nothing wrong. And, you know, I'm thinking, God, then boom, strike me with a lightning bolt or something like that. But she said, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord. She said, everything that you went through in your life was meant for you to go through. And your life now, your life was like an ox yoked up to a big ox, you know, because in the Old Testament, how they trained the oxes is that they would yoke the babies up with the older oxes and teach them how to plow and till the field and things like that. And Jesus is the big ox. Jesus has been the big ox in your life. And he's allowed you to go through the muck, the mud and the mire and the trenches. Now that you know what's in those trenches, she told me it's time to take the yoke off. You was yoked up with Jesus. Jesus allowed you to had you by your hand all this time and walk you through the process that you went through to your place of deliverance. And I just begin to weep and I begin to cry like a baby. I begin to cry because I had heard from another prophet told me that this was going to be a year of great impact for me. And that was the time I became an executive, the executive director for a better way of life, and my life changed. I pour out to the men with all that I have. Sometimes I get upset with them because they don't listen. It was really a blessing. I used to say it was spooky, but what's really a blessing about it, Amber, is that the Lord has shown me what they need to do and what they will need to do in their life to stay delivered. And a lot of them don't do it. And I see a lot of people go back out. And I've had people that come through the program that I was close to that has died. And it's painful and it's sad. But we have to keep moving on.
And the Bible says Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And
that's right.
Drugs is that means to do all of it.
Yes, ma'am.
It kills you. It destroys your life. There's nothing good that comes out of drugs.
Not at all.
What are the reasons why you chose that instead of maybe an alternate path?
I you know, Amber, I grew up as it was a single parent. My mother, she was a single mom. At the time, there was a lot of emotional abuse in my family. My mother, she was an alcoholic. She blamed everything and everybody for her problems. It was a lot of family violence in my family. I mean, I would literally hear my brother fighting my mom, and you could actually hear the hits. I mean, to the point to where her nose is being broken and she's hitting him in the head with a hammer, and I'm like 6 or 7 years old standing between them crying, you know, coming home and blood is everywhere. My brother just beat my mom in the head with a cast iron skillet, and I'm telling myself, you guys are crazy, I'm not going to be like you. And ended up being pretty much somewhat just like the rest of my family. And it was a generational curse that I was operating up under.
Mm-hmm.
And when I began to get a hold of the word of God, God began to break that curse. But yeah, I grew up, there was no role models in my life. I was actually so intoxicated, so high off marijuana drugs in the eighth grade that they had to actually wake me. I had passed out for my eighth grade graduation. But I've always believed in God, and I always felt like I didn't fit in here in the world, Amber. And, you know, the scripture says, even though we're in this world, we're not of this world.
Right.
And I like to use this analogy that, you know, God is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what
right.
The scripture tells us, right? And since God is the author and the finisher of our faith, it's obviously that God knows the beginning of our life, and he knows the end of our life. So, therefore, the scriptures tells us that we're just pilgrims passing through what a barren land, that God is already there. We just have to do what we need to do. Amen.
Right.
Catch up with them.
Now, you said that you really didn't have any role models. Does mm-hmm. that mean, so how did you have the sense of God? Did you ever go to church? I mean, how did this happen?
No, I don't. You know, in Amber, as a child, I always felt out of place. You know, the scripture talks about how everything is preordained, you know, and the spirit of the living God that lives in us now was actually in heaven before it actually came
right.
here. So everything is preordained. And, you know, I always felt out of place. And I used to sit and I used to talk with prophets sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing as parents mm-hmm. that they really need to be careful what they let in their house
mm-hmm.
because what the spirits or what they let in will attach to you
mm-hmm.
and bother you as the child. So your parents are your first protection mm-hmm. of being oppressed by demonic beings.
Yeah, my mother was oppressed. My mother was oppressed all the time. We was always getting into family fights with other individuals. I didn't really, like I said, my mother did the best she could. But when I got saved, and I had a lot of resentments towards my mom. I used to really just hate my mom,
mm-hmm.
Amber, but You know, I come to understand, you know, who am I to judge once I begin to get into her, the Word of God, and my deliverance process begin to take place. And, you know, me being an alcoholic and an addict in recovery, you know, blaming my mom, I haven't always been the best parent myself. And that's how I got my healing. And I'm still healing behind that today. God is still mending my mother, mending our relationship. Sometimes I could be there with her and she'd just say something, just being mom. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh my God, I want to go. But the Lord has given me love and tolerance to be able to fellowship with my mother today.
Let's talk about your salvation experience. Tell us about that.
I wasn't raised up in church. When people hear me minister the Word of God, they think that I was raised up in church, but I'm not. I was not raised up in church. Most of the word that I know, God had to deal with me in prison. I was in prison. My salvation experience, you know, it was a lot of things going on at home. And I used to go to First Assembly of God Church. I believe that's Tommy Barnett Church.
Right.
And that's when the white bus used to come through the neighborhood and pick the kids up. And I used to go there and to the children's ministry. And I used to just talk about this guy named Jesus, you know.
Was that your own choice? You saw that and you decided I wanted
to do this? I decided I wanted to go to church. You know, it was inside of me to go.
And how old were you at this
time? Man, well, I was like the sixth or seventh grade. No, fifth or sixth or something like that. And I just wanted to go. You know, kids would get off the bus with candy and stuff. So, you know, I grew up kind of poor. And so
right.
you're getting free candy and
right.
free this and free that. I want to go get something for free.
Definitely.
But when I got there, God had another plan for me. I began to hear they used to do gift puppet shows and things like that and give away free candy to newcomers. And man, they used to talk about Jesus. And I used to be like, well, I want somebody to love. I want somebody to love me. And that's all I ever wanted to do, was to love someone or to love something. It was in me to love, but with everything that was going on at home and in my family, that wasn't expressed, and it was hard for me to give that.
Absolutely.
You know, and so what I did is that I got involved in gangs and different organizations, demonic cults and different things like that, pornography. I began to get involved in those things, partake in ungodly things that led me to live the life that I live, because I was looking for a group to belong to give myself to. And there was nothing but the love of God, and it got perverted through the choices that I made.
And so when was it that you finally surrendered your life to Him?
Well, I surrendered my life to Him numerous of times. Which time? When I was in jail, I was looking at 25 years in prison. I had 6 counts of armed robbery, 4 counts of sales and narcotics, class 2 felonies. Every charge carried 5 years. When I got to jail, I remember being broken. I remember going to Bible study one night, and I began to just weep and cry in the presence of God. And I cried so hard, and the anointing was on me so much then, Amber, that my jail outfit, the jail clothing that I was on,
right.
was soaking wet.
Wow.
I cried for about 10 minutes, but God automatically at that point in time baptized me in fire at that time.
Wow.
And I never knew that He had had this plan for me. I'm actually getting ready to go back into the jails. But the scripture says in the book of Ephesians, after once hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, believed it in your heart, you're automatically sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise.
Right.
And at that point in time, I never experienced a supernatural power of God ever before in my life. And when that happened, 3 months later, the Spirit of God came and visited me. I had a supernatural visitation from God in the prison cell. And back then, Could nobody tell me about no Allah? Could nobody tell me about no Buddha? No, it's about Jesus Christ. And at that point in time, I continue to press. I begin to work on myself continually over and over and over again. I had some hardships. I had some obstacles. I relapsed several times over and over and over again. But I would always cry out to God, and He would snatch me up every time and restore me just like that. And before you know it, I'm back on that road again, ministering the Word of God. And I got tired of that, God, when I'm going to get this right. But one thing I learned, Amber, one thing I learned is that every time I fail, I learned how to fight the enemy a different way, and I would not fall that way again, ever again.
Wonderful.
So God actually was teaching me how to fight the enemy, and so what I do in the program now, I teach the men the same thing, because ain't nothing they can't come through and run on Brother Charles.
And you know what? The Bible does say, resist the devil and he will flee. Okay, so if the Holy Spirit's living within us, and he also says that he will not tempt us beyond what we can bear, and resist the devil, and
he'll make a way for us to escape.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every time. He's not going to leave us abandoned.
No.
But we do have the choice of which way we're going to go. If we do choose the hard road, we're always going to learn something out of it.
Exactly.
And that's going to benefit somebody else, because what did he also promise? He's going to change what meant for evil for our good.
All things work together for the good of those who love God, who's called according to his purpose. All things work together for the good of those who love God.
So even Satan is a minister unto people. In a backwards kind of way, because a lot of times when you get to your lowest point, that's when you cry out to God.
Yeah.
In your life, that even happened. So in a way, even the devil himself is a tool that God uses
Benefit the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
And his people.
It's a character builder. It shows us how sinful we are because of everything that he is, how much garbage he is, he just steals, kills, and destroys. I mean, there's nothing good out of him. And because we can see that, we see how wonderful Christ and God is, and how powerful and how special the birth, burial, and resurrection of our Lord is.
Wow.
It's amazing.
The
you know what I mean? So even Satan himself works for the good of us.
But
we do have the choice if we want the hard road or the
easy road. That's right. Amber, I used to be so mad at myself. And when I would make a mistake, Amber, the enemy would hit me with so much self-condemnation.
Absolutely.
Condemnation.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? It would be like, man, it was times where I would literally cry and cream out to God. And I said, you don't love me. I'm going back to the world. God, life is just too hard. You know, but one thing that the Lord taught me, God taught me how to do, is to master my emotions and feelings. You know, my emotions, our emotions and our feelings, they lie to us. And a lot of times, it's not even a reality of what's really going on, because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible
to please God.
Those that come to him must believe that he is God, that he is, and is a reward of them that diligently seek him. I couldn't understand that. But as I begin to study the Word of God and begin to pray and begin to meditate and begin to worship God, he began to show me the power and authority that I had through Christ Jesus. And in the process of that, he gave me the 12 steps of recovery. And one thing that the Lord has blessed me with, a lot of Christians, well, all you need is Jesus. For me, for Brother Charles, I've seen so many people get delivered through the 12 steps of recovery, along with the Word of God and a better way of life. That it blows my mind how God, how the anointing is on that ministry is so strong, because we teach the 12 steps of recovery up under the anointing of God. I tell them, I let them know, my wife and I let them know, man, I wish you was here. I love you, Lois. It's not about us anymore.
No.
I mean, there's going to be benefits and we're going to experience the fruit from it, but it's not about us anymore. It's about winning souls for the kingdom of God, pouring to men and to women that are lost and broken hearted. Let me just read to you the vision statement. Is that okay?
Sure, go for it.
For NSC Ministries. This is the mission statement, the vision statement for NSC Ministries. What we do is that we provide hope and vision to the lost and brokenhearted all over the world, and to those who are maladjusted to life. When I say maladjusted, those are individuals who don't know how to deal with life, who turn to drugs, alcohol, and life makes them just crazy, and they don't know how to do it. Don't know what to do about it, who maladjusted to life. And we also provide spiritual life skills, drug awareness sessions, and one-on-one spiritual classes to eliminate the bondage of addiction. My wife and I talk to the men one-on-one. We really take pride in what we do. Sometimes it can be draining because we're dealing with a lot of demonic spirits and forces. But the deliverance that you see, these are guys, Amber, these are guys straight, they come from up under the bread. We get the ones that are broken that other programs don't want.
Wow.
Them the ones we get. We get the ones that the program, we get Magellan clients, we get mentally ill clients. And we had a guy that was seriously mentally ill. He was in our program for almost 2 years. He didn't want to go. People really, they don't have to leave as long as they're working a spiritual program.
Mm-hmm.
It's been people with us 8, 9, 10 months. and they're working in the ministry. They love it. We're considered home. We're family to them. Some of the grown men that are twice my age call me dad.
Wow.
Call my mother mom. And I look at these guys, and I'll be like, wow. I cry because I'll be like, oh, God, you saved a wrench like me.
That's right.
And these men here are hurting, and they looking up to me. I want to be like Brother Charles, and all the time I was an addict and alcoholic, didn't care, thought nobody loved me.
You're representing the love of Christ in such a in a physical way. And if there's anything that we can do, let's try and help this ministry. If anyone has an extra dollar or $5, let's see if we can donate, because nothing pains me more to hear than they have to deny people beds because there's not enough money and there's not enough room for them. Ministry takes money. Yes, it's not just free because we're ministers, so it's free. We live in a world that requires us to make a monetary contribution. It's not free for us. And let's see if we can't help them get more beds and more room to stay in. If you'd like to contact them, how can they do that?
Well, you guys can, you want to be a partners with this ministry, or sow a seed into this ministry, you could send a love offering to care of Lois Williams. Care of Lois Williams. That's P.O. Box 57657, Phoenix, Arizona, 85079. Make your checks and money or orders out to care of Lois Williams, P.O. Box 57657, Phoenix, Arizona, 85079. Amen.
Is there a phone number they can reach you?
Oh, yes, yes. You guys can reach us. Reach her. She's the visionary and founder. It's 602-465-1377, or you can reach me at 480-343-3120.
Well, thank you so much, Charles, for sharing your testimony and your vision and your ministry with us.
Thank you so much for having me,
Amber. I definitely appreciate it, and I think this was a great way to kind of end the Christmas season because of Christ and how important that birth was.
Yes.
We got to see a dramatic result of what Christ's birth, burial, and resurrection did for one man who's branching out to reaching a lot more lost men just like him.
Yes.
So thank you for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. And let's help Charles Hare with his ministry.
Amen. God bless you, Amber.
Whenever I need to buy new shoes, I always go to Foot Locker. That's why I am so excited to be able to get you a discount at footlocker.com for your next purchase of shoes or apparel. When you visit footlocker.com and use promo code AFAMBER3, you will receive 15% off your total purchase of $50 or more. This discount could not come at a better time. I know we are all doing what we can to save money, so please visit footlocker.com and use promo code AFAMBER3. That's A as in Adam, F as in Frank, AMBER3 for 15% off $50 or more at checkout.